Okay. All right. Exactly. Welcome to our seventh episode of the IsCast of 2013. We got a special episode recording from Austin, Texas, where we just got done with RTX 2013. David, if you want to explain a little bit why we're here.
Yeah. So we have talked about this on previous podcasts that RTX is the convention that Rooster Teeth Productions is now, they just finished their third year of putting it on, and it's a big convention about gaming and internet culture and that kind of stuff.
What was their slogan? So,
we're gaming
internet meets the, gaming community. Was there
no,
a
no, it's
we're gaming meets the internet.
Yes, we're gaming meets the internet. So yeah, that just wrapped up, and we had the privilege this year of being able to present a panel about Halo fan filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're gonna start off talking about the panel and then kind of go into some awesome moments we had during the convention.
Well, first it should be noted that our panel was first thing right when the convention started, and we were competing with Freddie W.
Yes, that was the other big thing.
Freddie W. was in the main ballroom with 3,000 chairs, and we had
450.
Mm-hmm. But there were about 10,000 attendees, so we were bound to get overflow.
Yeah. And we were at 1 o'clock, and David got in at what, 9:30?
Yeah, 9:30.
Yeah,
we had to rush over here, and there was this big thing about if we could register because we didn't know we could get registered ahead of other people because we were panelists, and the line was probably like a 3 hour long line. Like it went around three sides of a very large.
How long
convention.
Would you say that? Like, would
if. Like if they would have kept going
a mile or
yeah if they had kept going at the pace
a lot of bodies
if they were going at the pace where when I was standing in line for a little bit if they had kept going at that pace like I think they sped it up somehow
okay
near the end but if it had kept going it would have probably been about a 3 hour wait
guess and then we wanted the armor too so we sent everybody else to get back and then I kind of found some people and was like hey I need to get in or we need to get in and so. I was able to get some badges for us, so that was awesome. The Guardians helped us out.
Yeah, shout out to the Guardians at RTX. They were all really fantastic. Yeah,
thank you. So our panel, Halo Fan Films Expanding the Universe, we kind of went through.
We had a great turnout.
Yeah, we had a great turnout. We were saying like 200 at least.
Yeah, between 200 and 250. It was about half the room.
The room was at least half full, yeah. So it was pretty decent turnout. People were walking in after we started even.
We dressed up Sean in our trooper armor. How was
trooper
that, Sean?
2.0? Yeah. Would it be called this one?
Or? No, it's not quite there yet.
Is it 1.6?
1.3?
1.3.
1.01? 1.35. Yeah, it was the first time I wore the armor, and it felt really, really comfortable, and we had gotten stopped on the way to the panel, and it was kind of surreal having all that
for
stuff.
Photos being taken, not stopped.
Yeah,
because
photos
being taken, sorry for to sure. put you back in armor.
I was honestly surprised because I was the one who transported because we had our trooper suit and Wade's half old, half new ODST suit in my two suitcases on the flight. And I was honestly surprised that we didn't open up those bags when we got to the hotel with the little Homeland Security sticker saying we searched this bag because of suspicious items.
By the way, we didn't introduce Sean.
We didn't have any weapons in there though. Oh yeah, Sean. Yeah.
Hello.
Introduce yourself.
New podcast member.
My name is Sean Doyle. I met these guys in Texas right now. I'm a soldier stationed at Fort Hood.
You didn't meet us in Texas.
Yeah.
No, I didn't meet you guys in Texas.
Sean's my cousin.
I grew up with these guys, but I'm
you
stationed.
You met David in Texas, though.
Yeah, I met David in Texas, and yeah. It was great.
We met before this.
Oh,
we met at the teaser film.
Yeah, you're also working on Dunderheaden with us.
Yep, exactly.
You are the combat instructor, military liaison for us.
And hopefully...
just all around, awesome
and
guy.
And associate
hopefully,
producer.
Hopefully some audio stuff
future
later.
Future sound design.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Yeah. Be awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Hello. Thank you for allowing me to be here.
And this is Lee Wade and... David, also the other people. We can introduce ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Backtracking.
We're going back to the panel.
Back to the panel.
So where were we headed next?
250 people.
Yep. And it was also really nice that did anyone hear of us before this? Or were there, like, there were two people, I think?
I don't know if I saw anyone raise their hand.
I think it was two people raised their hand.
No one?
Lee, okay, Lee asked before, and if anyone from the panel in the room had heard of us, and nobody...
Nobody.
So, which is also, it's a big testament to the people who showed up that not knowing us at all.
I think it was, I think it was the title of the panel was enticing, so good work there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Jeff David.
Yeah, thank you.
Also, a shout out to Rooster Teeth for having awesome setups and rooms.
Oh man,
yeah.
I know David was worried about that, but
yeah,
I had faith.
Yeah, yeah. It was also,
and they even live streamed everybody.
Yeah, yep. And the other fun thing that happened that a couple of us freaked out about, that we get to the panel and we walk in, and in the corner by all the gear is Gus. He was troubleshooting or something, but it was just the first surreal experience, especially for me.
Yeah,
because I. These people at Rooster Teeth are my heroes. I really look up
to
them.
How hard did you have to hold back from running over there and like saying hi?
To be honest, in that moment, it wasn't that hard.
Really?
Because I knew he was working on a problem, and in that situation, I wasn't going to talk to him unless he talked to us first.
Sure.
Yeah. And that, there were some other ones later on in the conference that I can talk about later that were really hard for me to hold back.
I'm sad he couldn't like get the fix done and then was like, "Oh, hey guys," or something like. Yeah. But like they had
like six guardians around them.
We got the person down in the main hall. Blah blah blah.
And then, so then they had to rush him off with his little entourage.
Right. But so we kind of like split up the segments. We did stuff about the story of Halo. Copyright things, fundraising, armor, visual effects, military, and there was one more I'm forgetting.
Fundraising?
I think I said
that. I think you covered it, man.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so we talked about all that stuff, kind of broke it down into segments. You had a good...
Visual effects?
Yeah. Other fan films. That's what
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Lee, I liked your main point of being like, these are the biggest fan films, and they're all canceled, and we want to know why. Why is it hard to make a fan film? And I kind of like that approach. David... covered copyright stuff. You talked about the issues we'd face there. Sean, you did a good job of talking about how you would like to instruct the people on screen to act like soldiers.
Sean got the biggest applause for being...
They supported the military.
Oh, and it goes without saying... Well, it goes with saying right now that Sean does not represent the Department of Defense.
Exactly. I don't speak on behalf of the Department of Defense or the Army. I'm just expressing my personal experience and views. And I will be out of the military in 2 months, so huge round of applause to coming home to Minnesota.
Yeah! I'll have a welcome home party for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and another thing, though, with the way we, as we mentioned earlier, the title of this panel was Halo Fan Films, which I think was a really good way to set it up to keep it general, that we were talking about Halo fan films, and we talked about a lot of the general stuff, and we sort of did it through the slight viewpoint of our film Dawn Under Heaven. Like, we kept it general enough that it wasn't just us.
We didn't want to plug us too much.
Yeah, it was talking about issues that everyone was talking about.
The only plug we did was showing a prelude at the end.
Yeah.
Which I thought helped kind of be like, okay, so if you did actually put some time, what could you see from the war?
And I think also it helped further cement our credibility.
Yes, exactly.
Showing like we're just not here talking about stuff that we can think about, like we've actually gone through with almost everything that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was
awesome. We have something to show for us.
It was awesome getting some got some questions, great questions from people at the end.
And
even after talking with people up front and having to cut off communication after a while too, of getting kicked out. It's hard not to keep talking.
We had a great response. I mean, there was really good questions people were engaging us with. What we were talking about earlier, what our favorite questions were. Oh, mine was, I forgot what it was. Do you guys have a favorite question that they asked us? They were really interested in what we were talking about. And it was
a lot of the good ones were about, I thought some of the ones that delved a little deeper into the thought process behind some of this was the ones that are talking about what do you tell stories about? How do you make the choices about what story you decide to choose to look into deeper? Or like, there was the one guy who was talking about he was asking us like, what do we think is some of the interesting mythos that still exists and still worth exploring?
Yeah,
and a bunch of us talked about Forerunner because that's a really interesting.
Yeah.
And 343 is currently doing that with Halo 4 and probably 5.
Well,
and 6.
I mean, when you think about it, Halo, even the name, it's a Forerunner structure. So it's all centered around the mystery of a bygone, civilization.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one I said earlier, and that is when you have issues of canon.
Oh, yeah.
Between like books and like Bungie, what do you like? How do you differentiate?
Deciding what canon to build
and,
from.
Yeah, his example was the Fall of Reach book, and then they did the Reach game, and it was kind of a
Discrepancy.
I didn't think it was that big of a
It's a relatively minor discrepancy. Like it's,
I think it was just the book was from a different perspective.
Yeah.
The battle. Because it followed Master Chief and not the battle on Reach, so it left with Chief after.
It is a little different
too. Really quick
because in the game Reach, the Pillar of Autumn is on the planet and waiting, and Master Chief is already in Cryo.
Yes, that is something that they changed quite a bit.
So. Well, you read First Strike too, didn't you?
Yeah, I read that one too. And
oh yeah, that's
the one that goes like it would
that
technically
follows Fred
fall
and Kelly. I thought
no, the Master Chief too.
The Fall of Reach follows.
Well, because Fall of Reach, First Strike, like, it's about the Chief, but it also talks about, like, the red team, blue team of Spartans. They're in the Pelican, they have to, like, skydive, you remember all that?
Yep, and then the Fall of Reach expands on that a little bit.
Okay.
Of them actually being on the planet.
Anyway,
yeah.
Going back, panel questions.
Yeah.
That's been a while. it was really, reeling back a little bit, I actually enjoyed the, because they let everybody in 15 minutes early.
So we were kind of sitting
there. And, no one was talking to each other, so David did a good job trying to be funny and entertain people.
Yeah.
And
notice he said, try to be funny.
No, they...
Some of it was.
David, I feel like you got a good energy going with the crowd. They were responding to you. You were like, oh, TX, woo! And they're like, ah!
Yeah.
Which helped, too, because that was...
Random questions.
That was in the very beginning, so everyone was really hyped up about the festival, too.
Yeah, I think
gonna love that. Who's better... Microsoft. Or
Bungie. There was this like 14-year-old kid in the front. He's like, "Who makes better Halo games, Bungie or 343?"
And your answer, Lee, was like the most diplomatic, political center of the road. Like they're both kind of good.
I did take a side for now, but obviously it's because 343 only has one game under their belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, they
it's two. If you consider Spartan Assault, but they didn't.
They enjoyed our video, our prelude. They had really good questions after we were done. And
we had a couple of people from the 405th. Were they official people from 405th, or were they
Others? So Dylan was...
Yeah, members.
Dylan was the guy in the Red Carter suit. Got to meet him yesterday. And he was part of the Facebook event. He's really cool. I can't remember the name of the other guy in the Master Chief suit.
Well, I think we could probably go into kind of share our favorite moments, you know, so after... Got done with the panel. I know me and Wade suited up after that.
Yep, they had a photo shoot with all the other 405th.
Well, we randomly...
We seemed to randomly walk into all the photo shoots with the 405th.
Yeah, well, we saw them and we thought, oh, just some random people. And then we just ran into Danny, and he wasn't suited up, but we were just like... It was actually like 343. The community managers were actually trying to do a photo shoot with Adam and stuff like that, and they're trying to get to the championship area, the Halo 4 championship thing that's going on now.
Yeah. Well, I think we saw like the group of Spartans kind of lined up naturally. When Spartans are together, everyone's taking pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were kind of like, I don't know if we belong, you know, because, you know, they're not really engaging us, whatever. And then Danny,
I felt out of place being the only trooper, too.
Yeah, and then the only one you can see the face. Yeah. And then Danny kind of led us back over that way, and then...
Adam came over and...
Yep, Adam came over, yep.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we walked back, and then the Spartans were, like, you know, saying hi to us. Brad in the Halo 4 Yellow Spartan, you know, he took off his helmet. He's saying hi to us. He knew who we were down there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, they were really nice. We went over to the Halo 4 banner and got our pictures taken.
It evolved into this epic Spartan trooper photo shoot.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
They did like individuals with everybody, and then we did a big group one and started dancing. And, they started doing with like getting people over and taking pictures, but we left at that point to go take our armor off.
So David, you want to start with like favorite moments about the whole?
Yeah.
We can talk about individual things later, but highlights.
Yeah, highlights, and so like... It probably what goes with all of you. Like, the panel was probably one of the best things. Like, it was a great turnout. It was a great crowd. It was so fun to be able to do that. And it's totally exceeded my expectations in every way. So outside of that, like, as these guys will all know, and know especially well at the end of this, I am a huge Rooster Teeth fan. These guys are my heroes. I look up to them a lot. I try and model some of my own work ethic after some of them, and I was really excited to be here. And one of the departments of Rooster Teeth is Achievement Hunter, and they are the group that do achievement guides and videos and Let's Plays and that kind of stuff. And on day two, on Saturday, I decided I wanted to, you know, wait in line with a lot of other people for all their autographs, or a big hunk of them.
What time was it starting, and what time did you get there?
Okay, that's a good question. The official sign was slated to start at 1:30. I got in line at 10:50.
Okay.
And there was probably already about 200 or 300 people ahead of me.
So this is just over 2.5 hours beforehand.
Yep. And so I went waiting in line. I'm standing, and for the record, for this whole point, I only sat for about a minute before we were told to stand back up again to help condense space and get more people in line.
Yeah.
So for all this, I only sat for about a minute, maybe a little more. So we're waiting there, and then, so it's starting to get close to 1:30, then we find out that they want to go to the Halo 4 panel, so they're going to push it back till 2. Yeah, where the rest of you were, that's really cool stuff, too. So then they're going to push it back to 2 o'clock, because that's when the panel lets up. But then it eventually became like 2:30, and they started sort of trickling in the guys, and then it finally, they started probably around 2:45, 3-ish, is by the time they finally started.
Wow, that was an hour and a half late, really?
Yeah, and so we're slowly, slowly starting to creep forward. And, you know, at this point, you know, we're that late. I'd be there for, like, 2 hours, 3 hours.
When were they scheduled to be done?
They were going to be working until close. So they were going to be there until 6.
Okay.
But, like, you know, it's been, like, 3 hours or whatever at this point. And, you know, and the painful thing, because it was sort of this mob of people, there wasn't really a line. And so because of that, the group didn't really move that much. You sort of just stood there, and maybe you shuffled forward, but you didn't move that much, which I think is something that helps psychologically in lines. As long as you're moving forward a little bit, it's a little easier to cope with it than just standing, even though you know that it's moving.
Yeah,
we go through this, so I'm waiting.
That's what I was thinking.
And, you know, I see, like, I'm looking ahead, and some of the guys are, like, you know, ducking in and out. They go away for a little bit, and I'm like, oh, am I going to get... five, like, I was hoping to get about 5 of the signatures. I knew one of the guys was going to be leaving. Gavin was going to be leaving early. So I was like, oh, no, am I going to be able to get any of them? Is this worth it? And I start getting pretty a little bummed out. And, you know, eventually it rolls out around to about 5 hours. And probably around there is when I'm at my lowest. It's like, oh, was this really worth it to spend 5 hours standing, not seeing anything else, not going to any panels, not seeing any booths, not trying to get anyone else's autograph? You know, so you get around to about 5.5 hours, and I'm right at the front of the line. And then the moment Jeff was the first one there, he looks up, and I'm starting to walk up there, and instantly, totally worth it. 5.5 hours, I did not eat anything that
day. Heart rate checks up.
Yeah, like, and I got up to get into there. I got up at 8 o'clock that morning, and so I had been standing in lines either to get in or try to get to a couple other autographs earlier nonstop that day. I had not eaten. I did not have anything to drink. I had not used the bathroom. I had only been sitting for about a minute. Totally worth it in every way. I got 5 autographs, 5 sets of photos. Could not have been happier with the end of that
day.
That's
awesome. Yeah. That sounds like a good highlight.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Well, I guess mine... So I didn't really know this when the thing started. I think I found out, towards the end of Friday, was that Jen Taylor, the voice of Cortana, was going to be signing autographs Saturday, the second day. And so that was the same exact time. It was from 4 to 5 that Lee and I wanted to go to this panel about producing, but eventually I decided, I don't know if I can pass this up. I really want this autograph. So I just had the last-minute decision to put on my ODST armor because I thought it would be cool to get a picture with her with my armor on. So I just came back, Sean Emily put it on. We went back, and I kind of waited around to get the autograph. The sucky thing is there was no place to wait if you got there early, because the place they had set up for autographs, it was like, all right, this person's signing from 3 to 4. Then at 4, the line can start for Jen Taylor, which is dumb, because as it got closer to 4, there were a lot of people congregating in that area. The Guardians,
it's a small area,
Yeah, it's a very small area.
It way was too small for anybody. Right.
You don't go to a place like this and say Cortana signing autographs and have it be like a tiny little like corner.
Like
anyway,
the Guardians
tried to keep people, you know, moving and clear the space, but it wasn't happening. So eventually they said, all right, we're moving her to the big registration hall, much bigger area. They have a lot of like belted off areas for people to form lines. So we all moved there. I thought I had a pretty good chance near the front because, you know, I don't know, that's just what I thought. But as the giant crowd moved in, I realized that I was behind about hundreds of people. There's really no way of knowing, but
yeah.
Hundreds of people were in front of me. And the Guardians told us where I was. They said, yeah, this is overflow, just in case she stays after 5. And I thought, oh, that's it. I'm not going to get this.
That's your low point for
this
story.
But the people around me, they're asking me about my armor. They're being really cool. One of the guys next to me went to our panel. And before I know it, I see Jen Taylor come out. And everyone's cheering and applauding. And then I see a group of like 6 Spartans from the 405th walk along the side, kind of where she is. And I'm like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? Like, and one of the guys next to me was like, hey, you know, you're one of them. Go with him. I'm like, you're damn right I will. So I ran up and I'm like, hey, guy. And one of the Guardians was like, hey, where are you going? Because I was kind of walking in like an area where I probably shouldn't have been. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go see what Adam wants, the 405th guy. He's like, oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. So I ran next to the Spartans and they're like, oh, yeah, come on. Because Lee and I had been with them the day before. They knew who I was. And they were like, yeah, we're going to go escort Jen Taylor. I'm like, dude, she's already out there. And they're like, really? Yeah. Poor planning on our part. But they're like, all right, well, I guess we'll stand behind her. And, you know, everyone was fine. They're like, yeah, so all of us stood in a line behind her while she signed autographs. And then the guy who was taking pictures for RTX, he was like, yeah, go and stand next to the Spartans. So Jen stood up and stood next to us and posed. And so I was kneeling down next to her. Hopefully that picture will be online soon. So anyway, we were standing behind her, and she was signing autographs. And I thought, man, this is really cool. But so what I wanted to get signed, I didn't really have anything.
Yeah,
but I realized, we did have some of the trooper armor, and I took the shoulder piece, and I was like, this is a very unique, like nobody has this kind of trooper armor. I want her to sign this, and so I had it with me. But we're standing there behind her, and I'm like, this is really cool. But she's busy signing, you know, this big
hundreds
line that's coming.
People.
Yeah, hundreds of people. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this. And the Spartan next to me, the guy who was at our panel, I was talking to him, and he goes, yeah, I really wanted to sign this poster. And he went and asked the photographer, he's like, you know, can I get her to sign this? He's like, yeah, just, you know, sneak in between people that are coming in. It was actually kind of cool how they had it set up. The Guardians wouldn't let the next person come through from the block of roped off areas until the person had just left before him. So there wasn't like a continuous line, there was like a gap. So he snuck in, got it signed, and I was like, oh my god, I totally need to do that. I was kind of nervous though, because I didn't want to bring, there were hundreds of people in line, like I didn't know how they would feel about me kind of going ahead of them. Eventually, you know, worked up the courage, grabbed my shoulder piece from my bag, and I was like, you know, the person left, I'm like, Jen, will you sign my armor? And she's like, oh yeah. And she's trying to find which way is up, and she signs it, and I'm like, you know, thank you so much. And she was really friendly and nice about it. And then I walked back and I was like, yeah, I got it. And then, yeah, then we, you know, took some more pictures and yeah, it was awesome. Cause it was like, if I hadn't been wearing my armor, like totally would never have gotten that because
all the right things lined up.
Yeah. And I recognized a guy who was near the back of the first block, the block that was guaranteed to get the signatures. He just barely made it through at the end. So I would have gotten nowhere near her if I was in line where I would have been. So.
And I also think it's worth saying at this point, with both your story, Wade, and Moy's story, we're sort of downplaying how excited we were.
Oh, my God. Because
you have been, like, I've been, like, the posters I got signed from my guys, they're relics to me. And, like, no, you've had your, like, you've been, like, hanging onto your shoulder piece. Like, like, you won't let it out of your sight.
Yeah, so that was an awesome moment. But anyway, so Lee, what did you enjoy?
For me, obviously, like Dave said, the panel, first off, was really cool. And just being a part of, like, being special a little bit. That's what I enjoyed.
Yeah, that's true.
At this RTX. And what more allowed us to do that was dressing up in our suits and walking around and getting photographs from everybody. You know, just randomly people just go, hey, can I take a picture?
Yeah.
Or can I take a picture with you? Which is awesome. And then also, you know, we got to meet some of the Blue Realm Studio guys who were kind of...
Who's Blue Realm for people?
The upper...
Echelon
of armor building.
They're like
people.
Tier 1.
Started by Devin. You know, probably the second tier to
Vulpen.
the best guy that I follow is Vulpen. Props, and they made one of the Master Chief Hail for a live action.
The live action word and for the E3 one.
Yeah, the E3. Mainly that's what it was used for. So it was just awesome to meet with them, and they really liked the armor that we built, and so that was awesome to get some recognition there.
Yeah, and just like, you know, personal, like, face-to-face conversation with these guys.
Yeah.
Like, they can see the work you've done and just give you feedback, like, right there on the spot.
Yeah, so it's awesome to talk about difficulties and, you know, seeing the same things that they're dealing with and knowing that we're doing a good job.
And you can see it in their eyes that they were pleased with what you had done. That was the coolest part.
They kept checking me up and down.
Yeah.
Time and back.
When they first walked up, you were talking, I think you were talking with Danny at the moment, and I saw the two guys walk up, and they had this look of such happiness, like seeing your arm. Like he's like, they were looking like they were behind you, and they were looking at your back plate and just seeing like slightly open mouth, like just happy with what they were seeing with this, which was and we were able to talk with or you guys were able to talk with them a lot about lots of armor building stuff.
Which by the way is awesome. I mean, you're talking about guys who have built costumes that have been used for the official Halo 4 commercial.
Yeah.
Like, you're chatting with them, and they're admiring your armor. How cool is that?
Yeah.
They're awesome. Also awesome guys.
Yeah.
It's awesome for me, though, because I've kind of taken it, like, the armor building for the movie, obviously we're trying to do it for the movie, but I've kind of taken it on as, like, a, hey, this is something that I would like to continue as a hobby, at least as a serious hobby. So it's awesome to get recognition for that.
And it definitely puts you at a whole nother level, compared to how you probably thought that your armor building like abilities were before.
Yeah.
After getting that recognition, you're like, okay, especially, I'm part of the group now.
Especially with the tools that we use at our exposure, which is none. Compared to some
in comparison,
people.
Yeah. I mean, and just asking him, like, what kind of materials did you use? Like, he's talking about stuff that, you know, I haven't laid hands on.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
What about you, Sean?
Right around that area that Lee was at when he was talking to the Blue Realm stuff about a day prior, that booth is called Game Over, and my huge hobby is collecting retro games and retro game systems and stuff. And
awesome collection.
I've started.
Got to play some Contra when we came to visit.
Original Contra.
Yep, and my goal is to get pristine retro gaming stuff. But these guys were great at this booth, and I bought a bunch of stuff from them. We were chatting.
What kind of stuff did they have?
What are they, Game Over?
Yeah, it's called Game Over. They
had Game Over games or something?
My goodness, their display was every Atari, the Jaguar CD unit. They had the Rob NES robot. They had the U-Force NES motion controller.
The NES Power Glove.
Yeah, we got some pictures of that.
Yeah, they had a lot of stuff that people classified as horrible, but I love them because it's nostalgia, you know?
Yeah.
But anywho, I bought a t-shirt from them, and they kind of looked at me like I was one of their guys, so they pulled me behind the counter to help sell merchandise and help them work stuff.
What was the game they were like, good luck with?
Oh,
that
I'm trying to find Earthbound.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They said good luck. And I said, I know.
Yeah. We really wanted the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had these handheld consoles that looked like Game Boy Advances, but they were built to play Super Nintendo cartridges and NES cartridges, which is the coolest idea ever.
To give a visual, they sort of look like the new NVIDIA Shield gaming controller, but with the screen not flipping up and it's in between.
Yeah.
Kind of the size of a Sega Game Gear.
Basically, you pop in like Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo, and you can play on the go. It's so cool.
And one of them has an HDMI output. I mean, you could
play,
output that too.
And they had plugins. You could plug in Super Nintendo controllers to the thing. Just awesome.
Yeah,
and they also had another console that could play Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, NES cartridges, and it had wireless controllers. So cool.
Yeah.
Probably one of the coolest shops, in my opinion, there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty up there. The other fun one is, I know we're sort of segueing into sort of other things that we saw and did at RTX, was the MakerBot was there. And I know you, Lee, and me are both huge fans of MakerBot and the MakerBot Replicator 3D printers. And getting to see those finally in person was really, really cool.
It was making companion cubes.
Yeah.
Weighted
for the Guardians, another cool one, too, was for David and Sean. Got to get their signatures from some random people from our panel.
Oh, yeah. In hindsight, if those guys, you know who you are, if you're ever listening to this, I am very sorry I did not catch your names to give you a proper shout-out here.
Yep.
Yeah, we were waiting. It was when Wade was getting the photos with Jen.
Yeah.
And we were just hanging out. We were just waiting, and these two kids came up to us. They recognized us from our panel the other day and asked us both for our autograph.
What did you get signed?
Their badges.
Their badges. Yeah. Awesome. Yep. They were super friendly, and they said they were extremely impressed with our panel and awesome group of kids. They were great.
Yeah. I had to think on the fly about getting. It was like this would be the first time for me I've ever been asked for an autograph. So I had to like think, it was like, okay, how am I going to sign my name? I gotta think about this for a moment.
How do you normally sign?
I have a terrible art.
Yeah, like my signature. I just decided, you know, on the spot right now, I'm just going to do my regular signature, which I basically, at one point when I was younger, I would do the full cursive of the name, which very few people do for signatures. Mm. So I basically do the uppercase D, sort of an A and a bunch of squiggles, lowercase D and a period.
That's what I do. I do Lee, which is all just one big continuous name. And then I do an A and then just scribble.
And for my last name, it's an I, and then like scribble H, scribble D, and then I dot
Lee,
somewhere in the middle.
Lee, you could just do a check mark and some scribbles. There you go.
Pretty much. Sometimes.
Yeah, but yeah, again, big thanks to those guys. It was great talking to you, even if it was only for that minute or so. It was great talking to you. Thank you for that.
That's
very
really
much.
Cool. And I think at that point, David, myself, and Wade were all in the same room. David and I couldn't come up to Wade because the Guardians were doing a great job at keeping the personnel out, and the crazy mob corrals that they had in sections of the little registration area. I think Lee was at a panel.
The production A to Z.
Yeah.
Producing.
What about, do you want to share your Bernie experience?
Oh, yeah. So, one of the big things I wanted to get out of this is my first RTX, and I have a huge amount, I love everybody who works at Rooster Teeth. There is not a single person that I don't adore. But I do have a special place for the original five people, which would be Bernie, Gus, Jeff, Joel, and Matt would be the original five. And I knew, those are the big people. They're probably only going to be around during their signing times, and they're probably just shuffled in the back service corridors for the rest. Because, if they went out onto the floor that much, they would get mobbed and they'd never leave. So we were walking out of, where were we coming from? Oh, it was from the panel to this morning. It was the, we were, you guys, Wade and Lee, you were at the,
we did a panel.
You want to touch on that real quick and then I'll go to this?
We basically were guest speakers at, Halo in Hollywood, which is with the panel talking about if Halo.
Danny submitted the panel and, Adam was there and then a guy from Blue Realm.
Yeah,
talking about Hollywood and Halo.
So we were on our way out of that towards the escalator, and then
I don't know which one of you guys. Somebody says, "Hey, isn't that Bernie?" Or that's Bernie, or something. And I turn around and I was probably at a good. I'd been sitting for the last hour at this panel. I was at a good resting heart rate. I think it did not go any less than 140 or 150. Up. The adrenaline shot there. My hands started shaking.
Yeah, and there wasn't that many people too around.
Yeah, I think they were sneaking him through to get to. I think the Red versus Blue podcast was. Where
maybe
it was headed to.
I don't know, Ruben.
I pull out the poster I wanted him to sign. I throw my phone at Lee. He's like, "Hey, can you grab a picture of one?" He's signing. And he signs a couple people. He's getting
you
right
were,
to the...
You
right
were just, in front of him, walking backwards.
Yeah, and off to the side. And, that experience. I don't think my heart
You were, the second to last person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Before he walked into the...
And he was like, "See y'all."
Yep, this... We could not have been more perfect. And I don't believe in coincidences, and this was absolutely brilliant that I happened to catch him.
I mean, I don't know if I do either with all the things that I got lucky with, putting on my armor just so I get that autograph.
Yeah.
And it's funny because right before that, you didn't know if you wanted to put the armor on
or
not put the armor on.
That I was goodness. Like, I'll do it.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. And what else did we do? We've gone to a couple of
different
places.
There was something you were going to tell me about how lucky I was getting that autograph, but you said you'd save it for the podcast. We're at dinner.
How lucky you were?
Yeah, I was talking about how I was lucky to get the autograph, and you were like, I'll save it for the podcast.
Ugh.
I don't remember that.
Oh, man.
Well, we're at RTX. We're in the wonderful city of Austin. This is my first time in Austin.
Mine too.
You guys, have you been to Austin before, Lee? Cool, yeah, so it's been fun. It's a very fun city. The two places we went, just to talk about some of the fun stuff that's outside of RTX, but here in Austin, we went to, what was the name of the pizza place?
I believe it's called Rolo's Pizza on 6th Street.
Awesome pizza.
Austin. Yeah, it was
fantastic
really good.
Pizza.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And Rolos or Rolos, I can't remember.
And then the
Shady Grove.
Yeah,
they got some good burgers there.
I guess other RTX stuff, because, you know, that's on my brain right now. We sat in on the Halo 4 panel.
Yes.
What's next this summer for Halo 4? So Frank was there, and a couple 343 guys, and Gus was there, and then Bernie. And they kind of told us about the next map pack that's coming out, the new weapon and armor decals and game types.
The new armor.
Yep, the pit from Halo 3 is coming back. And then we got posters when we left. It was pretty cool. It was just cool to see, like, exclusive, you know, stuff that's coming out before anyone else.
Yeah, and it was announced a little bit later on Facebook, but you guys would have been, you were the very first people in the world, I'm sure, outside of 343 to learn about all this cool stuff.
Yeah, and they did a Rooster Teeth PSA, too.
Mm-hmm.
With Red versus Blue for
nice.
It.
Nice. Very nice.
That was fun. I guess, and then they had the Halo 4 Global Championship, so we watched the finalists compete with each other on the stage in the expo area. So that was kind of cool to watch.
Yeah. And right before that, I hope you guys don't mind if I say another cool moment that happened to me.
Not at all.
I'm a huge AV nerd. I mix music, and my icons are the guys that are running the show for sound and video switching. So I walked up to get the autograph of the sound guy. He was like, "What the hell are you doing? Why do you want my autograph?" But he was really happy about it. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, can I get him back and see the video switching guy?" And they escorted me back behind scenes to see their little space command that they had going on. I got the guy's autograph. And it was amazing. If you're watching this, anybody from the RTX staff, you guys do an amazing job, and thank you very much.
Yeah,
great
a lot of really devoted guardians that I think helped out a lot. And the booths and panels, or not booths, or yeah, no, the booths they had in the expo area. They had a lot of really cool things out there. The 405th, of course, had a booth, which they had the awesome Master Chief armor. Who made that again? Was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, they made
it. It's the Halo 3 set, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Well,
you're talking about the
when they had that post.
On the mannequin.
Oh, that was from Blue Realm.
Okay,
the Halo 3.
Yep.
Okay.
They had, the Halo 4 Global Championship set up, so you can go in and play. They had Iron something?
Iron Gaming.
Iron Gaming.
Yep. They had the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Was there?
We were just going to say that.
What was that?
I got to try that. It was just, like, coincidence, too. Like, I was like, you guys were looking at the Game Overs, the Super Nintendo and whatnot, and I just, like, looked over my shoulder, and it was right there, and the line was really short, so I hopped in, and then it got really long, too, after that. I was like, oh, great. And, it was really cool. It was still the low-res model, so you get that still it's kind of pixelated and stuff like that when it's that close to your eyes. It was just crazy to...
What is it?
Basically, a virtual headset that has... motion tracking, gyro, whatever, like your iPhone. So you look to the left, you look to the right, it would do that in the game, and then the controller would operate your walking.
It was also 3D too, wasn't it?
That's inherent too, because there's two lenses, you can then utilize that by showing two different images to...
Like your eyes actually work.
Yeah, like how your eyes work, so then you don't have to do...
glasses or anything.
Well, the glasses are the thing you're wearing on your head. But it was just awesome. They had a little demo. It was kind of short, because...
You let a lot of the people
I was kind of good at it, so compared to other people, and I didn't really take all the time to, like, look around and stuff, but it was just crazy, like one, they have you, like, look straight down and stuff to, like, navigate trying to go down a vent and stuff like that. So I think it's something that has been around, and they've tried to do it before, but I think now with the smaller technology that we have with sensors and stuff like that, and higher res pixel displays, I think it's gonna make a comeback again.
Yeah.
And what else was there? They had the dive kick. People for the new game Dive Kick, where your controller is two buttons and it's
the
dive kick.
Right? The big one was the Battle Block theater.
Yep, by
which they used some of that for their Gauntlet 2 tryouts too.
Okay, yeah, the Gauntlet Season 2 tryouts were at this as well.
They had all their immersion stuff on display.
Yep, they had the Rooster Teeth experience. It was a bunch of stuff from immersion, like. They had the cardboard Gus from one of their shorts. They had one thing I thought was really cool, and I was lucky enough to get my photo on it. They had the whole Rooster Teeth podcast set. set up there. And as far as I know, it's the actual set. Like, they didn't fake it in any way.
It looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
So we got a picture of you on that.
Yeah, that's, that was really cool.
The Rooster Teeth, the Shorts Museum.
One thing that I realized is that none of us went to, unfortunately, they had the first consumer playable multiplayer demo of Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag.
The line for that was pretty long.
I've never really gotten into the multiplayer. Like,
unfortunately, when I have tried it,
I sucked at it. So it just like, this isn't fun. Because I'm bad at it.
Yeah. I got a picture. So I'm not gonna play it. I got a picture of Lee and Dave next to the Tower of Pimps.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Got that.
They had a huge tower.
And actually, what I was thinking about, that's a scale model.
Yeah.
That'd be a one meter by one meter cubes. Which is weird to think if you've ever played Minecraft. You know, it looks completely normal. You're walking around this world. If you know a little bit about the game, you know that the world is based on 1 meter by 1 meter cubes, but when you think about that and put it into the real world, that's huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the character you like, the skin you start out of is Steve, that character is 1.8 meters tall. Like, that's just shy of Master Chief's height.
Yeah.
Master Chief is about 2 meters tall.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about it, like, oh, yeah, you can jump off a 4-block-high ledge and survive it fine, but when we saw the Tower of Pimps, if you jumped off of that, you'd probably break your legs.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. What else do they have out in the main floor? State Farm insurance thing for some reason. But they had 2 bars, which I didn't go to.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of anime shops that had like the little figurines and stuff.
What were those figurines? Was that Ruby or something, or what was that?
They were just anime. Okay. The guys from Mega 64, which is another gaming site, were there. They had a booth set up, and they had a panel at some point in the weekend.
Another fun thing we did with Adam, we did film some video of us.
Bubble blasting each other.
Unfortunately, neither Lee nor I brought weapons, Halo weapons, to this. So everyone, you know, they were doing poses with their guns. So, you know, we don't have guns, so we borrowed one of the ODST girls borrowed us. Or no, it wasn't her. It was someone borrowed us the bubble guns.
Yeah.
And so we just shot each other with guns that shot bubbles.
You guys didn't see my like teabag video, so it's, I don't know, hopefully we'll post it up somewhere.
Yeah, we'll see.
And
I took down Wade.
Yeah, and the other thing that I did this morning, I'm not sure.
Trooper ODC.
Yep.
This morning, this part is public knowledge. Like, this morning there was a rooster a short that was being filmed. If you wanted to.
Guys.
Yeah, like
I don't know if I was too tired to.
Yeah, like, and I don't know, like, they never said we couldn't talk about it.
No, they put they tweeted their picture.
Okay, yeah, I suppose. So what it was ended up being is
people.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, if they had said something, but I always err on the side of non-disclosure and stuff. But what it was it was a slow-mo guy short, and sort of the opening premise was Freddie W. and Gavin get into a water balloon fight, and Freddie W. says, "Hold on a second, I need some backup." And then all of us, my guess would be no less than 1,000 people. Like, there was a ton of people here. Between probably 800 and 1,000 people was sort of walked up with water balloons. And so then we threw our water balloons at Gavin and Dan of the slow-mo guys. And that was really cool to be there because I got to see Matt Hullum, who is the CEO of Rooster Teeth in Action, and Brandon, who he does a lot of the live action work, and he does in the podcast stuff. And like, they had their Red Epic was there, they had their Red One there, and for those of you who are camera people and film people, you know how amazing that is. And a bunch of DSLRs floating around, and that was really, really fun.
So how are they able to do multiple takes if they get wet after the first one?
I think it was like, I don't think they're going to play it off as if it's the same take. Hmm. Like, it's the same thing happening.
Well, I know one, they wanted different audio. So
yeah, like the,
they
like,
might mix some things.
Yeah, like the last wave was they were doing it just to get the water balloons hitting the ground. So that's what that was. So it will be interesting. I'm guessing it won't be any sooner than a month before it comes out. Probably a little longer.
Awesome. We all had a great time.
It was
amazing. I can't even describe. Can't even describe how
excited it was. You got to sit at an airport for a long time.
Yeah, we got to fly back tomorrow. But it was a kick-ass weekend. And it was just fun to go to a convention where everyone's a gamer, everyone loves, you know, either, like, video game films or just gaming.
Halo, too. Yeah.
Or retro gaming, you know, yeah. Just everything.
Internet culture in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything that we're obsessed about. It was awesome to be part of that and be on a panel where people could interact with us and talk about the stuff we like to talk about. I mean, it was... I have nothing more that I could say to improve it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see you guys in a month for our next episode.